CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The IMF comes out with predictions about this time for growth in the G7 and G20. The G7's at issue right now, worried about the three wars in Eurasia. However, the pocketbook is what determines the future of a political administration. To Germany, to Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, which I urge you to sign up, and you can follow our allies very closely because they vote pocketbook just the way the U.S. does. And right now, the U.S. is in the catbird seat. The expectation is that we'll grow 2.7% this year. That is more than twice any other part of the G7. For example, Japan at 0.9, the UK at 0.5, and Germany at 0.2. Judy, a very good evening to you. Your new column for Strategic Europe identifies that the Chancellor of Germany, Mr. Scholz, leader of the Social Democrats, has traveled to China the second time in my easy memory during the war, and looking for business, looking for more integration of the German and Chinese manufacturing and sales. At the same time, Mr. Scholz is aware that China is participating in the aggressive war in Eurasia. One that I'm pointing to right now is a report these last days that China's been using middlemen to supply weapon systems to Russia. There is also the banking. There is also the buying of oil. And China buys oil from Tehran, a huge deal, and the sanctions are not imposed. All of this is to say Mr. Scholz knows that his embassy is into the adversarial camp. Is that a concern for the voters in Germany, that he's gone over to the bloc that is driving the turmoil? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on your show. It's a very interesting question because the public really doesn't understand or appreciate completely what China is doing in Russia. They read the headlines and they get the information from the fantastically successful mass circulation newspaper Bild. However, this visit by Scholz, of course he had to mention or ask China to stop supplying weapons, but frankly, Chancellor Scholz is just simply not using the leverage. And secondly, he's going back to the old days, the status quo, the old trade relations with China. Life can continue, and Germany is so dependent on China now for its economy, for the industries and businesses. And so Scholz had a different agenda in China. Go back to this the status quo ante under Merkel, who traveled 12 times during her tenure in office to China to drum up business. And this is a danger. And I think the Germans will suddenly wake up to the fact that Germany is increasingly dependent on China, an authoritarian regime that does all sorts of very nasty things to democracies.
I want to put all the points on the table. I can't connect them all, but certainly they're relevant. For example, we have a report out of London that Ebrahim Raisi, the president of Iran, once known as the hanging judge, has called Vladimir Putin in Moscow to discuss the attack on Israel. We have a remark from Wang Yi, the very aggressive foreign minister of the People's Republic of China, saying that Iran can handle the situation well and spare the region further turmoil. We have Moscow making it very clear that its aggression in Ukraine is going to continue, including taking down the infrastructure, the electricity-generating ability of Ukraine to sustain itself. I'm not going to connect these dots. I'm going to say I see them. Germany sees them. Does that mean you do business with the enemy, Judy?
It means that Germany is not using its economic strength and its economic power in a political way. It has leverage and it doesn't use it. And frankly, Germany could have played. Germany praises itself for financially and politically supporting Ukraine. It's not enough. Germany has to go the whole hog in supporting Ukraine to win, but it won't do this. Secondly, when it comes to China, we've seen that it's going back to the old status quo, business as usual, but China will just overrun and actually do extraordinary damage to the German economy because of the interdependence. And the dots are all there. Moscow, Russia will continue the war in Ukraine unless the Biden administration seriously increases the support for Ukraine and pushes the Europeans to do this as well. We are in very dangerous times. And if Ukraine loses this war, Europe will actually suffer a great deal from insecurity, from unpredictability and instability. And somehow Chancellor Scholz is on another, sometimes on another level, on another planet, how he sees the strategic outlook of Europe.
I understand. Let's look at, there was once upon a time Ostpolitik. We discussed it early in this war. That is, that Germany had built a very successful model where it got cheap energy from Russia and it manufactured very fine goods and sold to the world. Ostpolitik was set aside because of Ukraine war. But what I'm reading from your new column is that the Ostpolitik is back. It's more Ost. It's via Beijing. Is this irony lost on the German voters that they've replaced one creature that's aggressive with another creature and that Germany does not benefit from this?
Well, the German voters aren't up to speed on this, but certainly the German think tanks, the elites, the experts, those who study German foreign policy, they know exactly which way Germany is going. And it is your interest, it's creating a new, further Ostpolitik. So since the old German-Russian dependence Ostpolitik, Eastern policy is for the moment over, Germany is now compensating by actually beefing up the further Eastern policy with China on extraordinary dependence for rare earth materials, for exports, for products and so on, without actually taking on board what China is doing to Germany with cybersecurity, with interference in the elections, with all its kind of aggressive diplomacy. And somehow it's this German-Chinese relationship is actually doing serious damage to the German economy because it is postponing the day when Germany really has to diversify and deindustrialize to break this dependence on yet another authoritarian regime.
One more connection. Zeitenwende, February 22, much praised, big surprise, $100 billion to be devoted to rearming and awakening the security apparatus in Germany. And some of it went to Ukraine to support Ukraine these last 2 years. Very generous of the German people, of Olaf Scholz. However, that $100 billion is poured into an environment where China, the money you're making in China, and the money China makes from you is poured into the environment on the other side. In other words, you've got a machine that cancels itself out.
Well, it's not as clear-cut as this. The $100 billion is already swallowed up because of the deficiencies of the German military, firstly, and secondly, because of the whole budget debt break in the German financial system. It's not quite sure how actually the German armed forces is going to be really properly financed in the next budget. But this coalition is just so divided over its priorities, and fundamentally, the German situation and the German government does not think strategically. And this is the big negative aspect of the German outlook. They prefer the status quo and predictability and stability. Stability and predictability are finished now, given the three wars that we're facing. And yet Chancellor Scholz believes that things can go on as normal. Well, they can't.
Let's go to NATO itself, because you put out a question to your colleagues Should NATO coordinate military support for Ukraine? I like the word coordinate. Judy Dempsey. She's the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's in Berlin. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.